Like, mm-hmm.
Boom. Yeah, it's heavy accordion stuff. You know the style when you hear it.
I just didn't know they were singing about drug lords.
A lot are. It's a very popular subject of the music to celebrate the romance of these anti-heroes.
Huh.
There you go.
Stefan Loaiza.
Yeah, the 224 says, look into the mysterious death of his wife. Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Apparently, this gets pretty... Oh, man. We got to read... The most
it's
I've
great
read
radio hearing you guys react to reading.
Yeah, so I there's a bunch of texts about apparently the people have looked much deeper into the history of this of his wife or girlfriend or whatever with the singer and stuff. If she died in a plane crash or something.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, that is that is something you don't expect to hear about a guy who made $43 million, then deciding to descend into very, very serious professional
right.
international drug trafficking.
Meanwhile, I don't think you should go without noticing the before and after picture of Esteban Loaiza just like on the mound pitching, and then just him sitting slumped down in the chair as a defendant in this case is it's exactly what you would put on the box of a DVD if anyone still bought DVDs.
Who was the actor from Mighty Ducks who you were showing me the picture of before?
Oh, Goldberg, right.
I've never seen Mighty Ducks, but you guys were going crazy at this mugshot because now the guy somehow became Grobstein.
He was a fat goalie, that's why.
The fat
goalie.
This
is why you stay fat.
He was also in Heavyweights, I think, too. Have you seen Heavyweights?
Mm-mm.
Heavyweights is like prime Ben Stiller mid-90s. Like if they just said, Ben... Go do whatever you want and endanger children. It doesn't matter. And like in a film, go get that done.
Okay. I legit think for a kid's movie, you would like that one.
Heavyweights?
You would like Heavyweights because it's set there. All these kids are sent away to camp and they're not told it's a fat camp.
It's pretty subversive.
Crazy Ben Stiller is the guy that is now in charge of the camp and he's ruining these kids' lives while they try and push back. It's pretty solid.
Oh, then it gets to be like a Great Escape kind of thing, or is like Brubaker. I'm wondering if they sort of turn on him and try to take him down.
No, there's Judd Apatow was a writer on this,
more of a
like
coup.
Back in the mid 90s. So
okay.
It gets pretty weird and just kind of out there in its Ben Stiller awkwardness.
I've never even heard of it.
It's
underrated.
It really is. I watched it as a kid and didn't get it because it was going to all these weird places. I just wasn't ready for it.
Okay, because like Ben Stiller show kind of stuff.
Yeah.
When he was in his more subversive, less commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. We'll certainly take that under advisement. We're going to have a conversation in just a few moments with Doug Glanville. You see him as part of Baseball Night in Chicago on NBC Sports Chicago with Ozzie Guillen and Leila Rahimi. And it's good stuff. That show's gotten really polished, and there's a lot of strong opinion that's given. Look, when Ozzie Guillen's in the room, you're going to have a strong opinion to deal with. But we can talk Cubs, we can talk Sox with Doug Glanville, and perhaps more importantly, you are going to have an opportunity to win $1,000 in cash with just a text keyword. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Score.
Cubs fans, listen to every Cubs game here.
Just get the feeling there's going to be several more runs scored in this game.
Bodie drives one in the air. Deep left center. It's got a chance. Gone. Ball game tied 6-6. The pitch to Anthony. Swung on. Hit in the air. Deep right field. Cubs are going to win the ball game. Anthony Rizzo. A game-winning home run. Listen to this place.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Ask any dentist and they will tell you most of us brush our teeth too hard, unevenly, and not nearly long enough. And that leads to serious health problems. So I decided to do something about it. I'm Simon Enova, and I invented Quip, the modern electric toothbrush to help you have fresh breath, pristine teeth, and excellent oral hygiene. As a product designer, I care about how your toothbrush looks, feels, and the quality of every bristle. Quip has a lightweight and sleek design, with simple timed vibrations and guiding pulses for a perfect 2-minute clean. And unlike other high-end electric toothbrushes, Quip starts at just $25. BuzzFeed calls us the iPhone of toothbrushes, and Time magazine named us one of the best inventions of the year. Start brushing better with Quip.
Go to getquip.com/clean and get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/clean. Spelled getquip.com/clean.
Hi, I'm Ben Zobrist, the MVP for Chicago's World Championship Baseball team. I've teamed up with Westfield Ford because I know a winner when I see one.
Get $5,500 off MSRP on a brand new 2018 Edge. Or choose 0 for 60 plus $3,000 bonus cash.
Join me, Ben Zobrist, on another winning team. Westfield Ford on LaGrange Road in Countryside.
All offers plus tax, title, license, and doc fees to qualified buyers on select models. Savings from MSRP based on $16.67 per thousand financed. All Ford rebates and incentives apply. Expires 8/31/18.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1973, when Roberto Clemente becomes the first Latin-born player to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. The mandatory five-year waiting period was waived to honor the late Pirates outfielder, who died tragically in a plane crash that was carrying relief supplies to victims of the earthquake in Nicaragua. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Listen, I forgive you. That birthday shout-out to Lester might have been poorly timed and mildly dangerous, but doggone it, you put your heart into it. Besides, forgiveness is what Progressive is all about. That's why our loyal customers enjoy accident forgiveness at no extra cost. So, I forgive you. Even if Lester and the fire department don't. Or the improv troupe. That was bad.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Accident forgiveness not available in all states or situation.
Your own outdoor retreat is waiting at the Home Depot. Get away from it all behind an easy-to-install fence, pre-stained and pre-treated. Or relax on the deck of your dreams, built with ground contact lumber, rich deck stains, and beautiful hardware. Even ready-to-install composite decking for years of backyard bliss. Your outdoor oasis is closer than you think. Well within reach, and only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
At Walgreens, we believe everyone counts, and that includes your everyday choices. Today, when you buy participating products at Walgreens, you support our partnership with the Me to We Foundation in their mission to deliver education, clean water, healthy food, and healthcare to children in need around the world. Stop by your local Walgreens to shop products that support Me to We, like Hershey's. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with cards, select Hershey's party size bags are $9.99 each, valid July 29th through September 3rd.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shear she-shed.
Can we stop saying she-shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Circle K's Polar Pop lets you do you. Choose your Polar Pop cup, favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop. Only at Circle K.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Kevin McCarthy, the new pitcher. Javier Baez drives one in the air, deep right center field. Back goes Merrifield near the wall. That ball is gone. Javier Baez, a leadoff home run in the sixth inning on the first pitch thrown by the new Kansas City reliever. Kevin McCarthy. Cubs have their first lead of the game. It's 2-1.
Javi, once we got in their bullpen, took advantage of the first pitch. And that kind of got them back on their heels a little bit, because to that point, it was anybody's ball game.
And many insiders believe that that pitch might keep Kevin McCarthy from actually ascending to Speaker of the House. It could just be that mistake that when they finally hash things out in these back rooms and do all their horse trading and say, you know, Kevin, this was going to be your shot, but you left one just too much in the zone. Here to talk baseball with us is a guy you find on Twitter, at Doug Glanville. Interestingly enough, he's Doug Glanville of NBC Sports Chicago, their baseball insider. Doug, what's happening, man?
Oh, plenty. Always exciting here in Chicago, but having a good time.
Yeah, you guys look like you're having fun on that set. I mean, it really seems like you're hitting a stride with Ozzy and Leila Rahimi. The show looks good, and there's a lot of strong opinions, which makes for some compelling viewing.
Yeah, no, it's been great. I mean, I've worked with Ozzy in the past, and I played against him a few years. He'd actually tried to pull me out of a brawl pile when I was at the bottom by my head and had a stiff neck for 3 days. But
was he trying to help you?
He was theoretically trying to help me. He was playing with the Braves, and I was with the Phillies, so he was actually the opposing team. And since he kind of incited the brawl in the first place, tried to pull me out of the pile, and I had a stiff neck for 3 days. But I appreciate the effort.
I would imagine Ozzy still tells you he was trying to help you and not hurt you in any way.
Yes, that's what he said, yes.
So, Doug, I'm looking at last night's game and trying to check Cole Hamels by the numbers on stuff like Brooks Baseball. And, you know, we're looking back at his 9 strikeouts and 5 innings in his first start. What did you see that was most different or maybe most similar for Cole Hamels in his 2 starts as a Cub?
Well, certainly on a different side, he wasn't topping out at the maximum velocity, the velocity that he had pitched previously. He's been able to maintain that velocity since his great days of 2008 with the Phillies. He used a little bit more slider, working in, keeping right-handers honest, and changed speeds a little bit more. The changeup wasn't quite as sharp, but he found other secondary pitches or complementary pitches to make it work. So I thought he battled a little bit more with his stuff, and I think the fact that he was still able to get out of jams and, you know, bases loaded, make big pitches, that really started to show the whole Cole Hamels, a Cole Hamels of, okay, I don't necessarily have my best stuff. I'm giving up some hits, but I'm also executing when I need to.
Something we'll talk to Joe Maddon about in a little over an hour, but he mentioned that the Cubs are not using the whole field in a way that they were when everybody was hitting well. How are these things team-wide? I don't quite understand it. When he says we, he's referring to a lot of the guys on the team, and I find it psychologically fascinating, and I don't know if it's frankly true or not, or if it's just random, for these habits to develop up and down a lineup simultaneously.
Yeah, I think you're speaking to somewhat of a cultural shift throughout baseball, right? With the analytics evolving as it has, you start to get this common information, and more as you get common information, you start to get these teams that strategically think almost like a single organism. And so when you think of the Royals as a perfect example, when Ned Yost came in, I remember talking to him, it's like he spoke often about this idea that we're sort of in sync and here's how we can beat a pitcher. Now, all these guys have different swings and different strengths, but sometimes that approach can sort of flow through all your lineup, your entire team, and what can be successful. It might be just the way they're defending, or it might be just a pitcher that goes to his strengths and he consistently throws on the outer third. And it's true. You look at the interleague series when they beat up on the Twins and the Tigers and these different teams. They were able to find ways to spray the ball around and spread out the defense. So all of a sudden you couldn't shift, just like with Baez right now. You can't really shift him anywhere, right? He's going line to line. And that opens up so much offensively in the hitting side. And they have most of the players in the Cubs lineup have that capability. Maybe Schwarber is much more pull, but they tend to be able to spray it around fairly well, even when they try to shift and defend against it.
Doug, in your experience, how often do coaches, whether it's the manager himself or other coaches, you know, third base, first base, talk to aggressive base running teams about just keeping in check, about understanding, like, yeah, let's be aggressive, let's force some throws, let's make sure that we're putting teams on the defensive when they're on defense, versus knowing time and score, and maybe, you know, maybe discretion being the better part of valor sometimes. I mean, how often can a coaching staff enforce that with a team without being redundant, without being tuned out?
You have to pick your spots, and that's a great question, because you think about, I know coming into spring training a lot, you may set the tone coming, or more coming out of spring training, and say, okay, like I played for Terry Francona in Philly. He's like, everybody has the green light, everybody. And then I'll stop you when I need to, for example. That was one way to do it. The metrics sometimes helps, because the Cubs are really one of the best teams in baseball. I think they are going first to third, but they're very good at their decision making. Now, we've seen in the last few days, Padres in the 10-6 game, some of the base running blow up in their face. And they look like very clearly sort of the decision to go. And yes, they have the swim moves and all these moves that they're you know, acrobatic. But like you said, there's a time and a place. And especially when you look at stolen bases, because the numbers are in now. We know that, you know, we know how a stolen base or a caught stealing changes the chances of you getting a run. And it's much more risky when you get caught. You lose more than you gain when you make it. So you have to make it more often. And I think the same holds true for taking those extra bases. So it's really become more glaring when you get caught, especially when you're already in scoring position, because you can actually quantify that now and see how much it's shifted. So that communication with Joe Maddon's staff has to continue when you pick your spots. But I think if you disarm everybody with some information early on, you can see, like, okay, you're more prepared than someone just coming down on you saying, where were you going, Contreras, like yesterday, and sort of be able to move forward. But they're aggressive. Most of the times that pays off, so you don't want to put the brakes on. You just want to just keep talking to them about the when and where and still allow them to have their instincts, because their instincts are generally very good.
I'm glad you brought up the stolen base thing, because I was kind of going back through teams you played on and trying to find, okay, what was the most aggressive team Doug played on in terms of taking extra bases? I don't know if you'd say it was the 0-1 Phillies team you were on with Rollins taking 46 and you had 28 and Bobby Abreu had 36. But then I realized stolen bases isn't necessarily the aggression that we're talking about with this Cubs team. It's on the bases. It's while the ball's in play, taking extra bases. And I wonder if those skill sets, knowing when to take the extra bag on a stolen base versus running the bases, necessarily jives with you as being the same skill set.
They're different skill sets. They're different. And I found that out because when I was drafted, I was always fast, right? But then it was how to use it. And I became very efficient at stealing bases. And it was partly because I had this kind of nightmare AAA manager that, you know, when I got caught, he'd come out of the stands practically.
Who was it?
And Ron Clark. And he was really tough. We were like oil and water. And so Clark, he sort of made me very tentative. But when I came out of the tentative, I learned to be very selective. So you saw one year, like I had a very high, you know, over 80% stolen base success rate, which would definitely allow you to go against the analytics and say, nope, I make it 80% of the time, so don't say anything to me, right? So, but going first to third, these are reads, and that's a different game. It's not like, okay, 2-0 pitch, should I go? This is like a read, knowing where the outfield is, checking the scoreboard, being a step ahead, understanding how to slide and evasively slide and picking lanes. Those are different skills. So take Contreras yesterday against the Royals. That ball was hit, and it's in front of him, right? So he sees where the right fielder is, so there's no real excuse. But what I think he went off on was the right fielder kind of was a little lackadaisical and hesitated. So he's like, oh, I'm going to go. And the thing that sometimes gets lost in that first to third or being aggressive is the pressure it puts on other teams. I know when I played corner outfield, left field, right field, I knew the guy that's going to, like Barry Larkin, you better get that ball and you better get it in. And every once in a while, they force you into mistakes because they're so aggressive. And that's what sometimes even out, so to speak, when Contreras, you know, okay, he got caught, but three times out of four, Baez is able to make that extra base, and now you're in scoring position. So, you know, that data, but it is two different skill sets. You can be a great base, like Chris Bryant is a fantastic base runner. And he's probably a little bit above average runner, too. He's not slow by any stretch, but he is an excellent base runner where it's almost like he's a fast guy. He's like a blazer, because of the way he's so efficient and picks his spots and actually makes it when he does.
Why do you think Ben Zobrist has turned back the clock? And obviously he can't run like he used to. He's not the fielder he used to be. But if you just look at the hard numbers, he is a positive base running runs above average, positive offensively, positive defensively. Ben Zobrist has been a 3-win player. He's got a weighted RC plus of 132 that is second best on the team. Is this just health? Is this a better understanding of one's game? Is it how he's being deployed by Joe Maddon or all of the above?
I think it's all of the above, but I would even add a piece to it. Like Ben Zobrist, when it's all said and done, and you look at this era, he's going to be one of the best players in baseball. Like he's really been that good with the Rays. And when he was traded, we were talking about this last night with Dave Kaplan. People were like, kind of, you know, I'm very upset at this trade. Like, who is this guy? Like Ben Zobrist, like super utility guy, but the fact is, like, his ability to get on bases, he is fundamentally sound defensively and an excellent defender everywhere you put him, which is unheard of. Obviously, the switch hitting. He was hurt, you know, his wrist, that slowed him down. But he's also had the aptitude to be able to make adjustments when your skills are changing. And because he's so many steps ahead, he has a plan, you know, just has and he executes, and he's just so fundamentally sound. When you have people that are just sound fundamentally, they're strong, they don't waver as much. They're more consistent. They can extend their careers more. It's repeatable, all these things. So, you're seeing a, I don't know when he's going to retire, but when you close it out, and thank goodness for those advanced metrics you just mentioned, because that's how you're actually seeing and quantifying the value to Ben Zobrist, where he would be a player years before his career started that he would have been underestimated or underappreciated. And with the data now, specific to his skill sets, that won't happen again.
Here's something amazing, and you probably win a bar bet with this. On the list of career wins above replacement via FanGraphs,
yeah,
Ben Zobrist has already amassed 43.2 career wins. That ties him with Lou Brock.
Right. Yeah. That is, Lou Brock, 100 stolen bases.
Yeah, don't start me on that, though, because the advanced metrics basically say Lou Brock sucked. If you're really, one of the worst defensive left fielders that ever walked the planet. You talk about what we now know about risk and reward with stolen bases and counting stats and all that. Don't get me started, Doug. That's for another time.
Yeah. Well, Ricky Henderson, I know he stole a lot. He got caught a lot.
And hit a bunch of home runs, too.
A lot of dingers.
Yeah, hit a bunch of home runs and scored a lot of runs. But, he's a fantastic player. He just is. And you keep looking at it like, the shoes, and you're just like, I don't know. What's this? This is the guy that just lights you up every game, clutch hits. Batten talks all the time about his steps in the outfield. He's so efficient. I mean, he's like watching like a real and well-oiled machine that just like is so precise in everything he does. And I'm glad that, slowly we're, appreciating the artistry of it. It's no mistake that he's had as long as the career as he's had and continues to play at this level.
Doug, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Doug Glanville was our guest, and it's time right now for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is palm. Text palm to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is palm to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. The midday midway is coming up. I have something that proudly refers to itself as the Redneck Fishing Tournament. And all I will tell you is, don't bring a rod and reel.
We are going to get into the Alabama quarterback battle because the controversy is on now in a better way than it was before. And really it was. And also, we're going to talk about pettiness captured in professional sports. A real, just the level of petty that you can just only respect.
There's also an opinion on the Hall of Fame speech that I think somebody saw the wrong speech or saw a different speech than the one I saw.
Uh-oh.
So we'll get to that. That's coming up midday midway on The Score.
Molly here
with David Hall.
We cover all of Chicago's teams every weekday morning, starting live at 5.
So start your day talking Chicago sports with Molly and Haw, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You know, one of the great things about radio is I don't have to shave all that often, but when I do, that means there's usually a lot more to get done. And it's so much more to look forward to once you have all of the accoutrement from Harry's.com, because there's so many benefits to this. Not only is it just a better shave, higher quality, higher end stuff, it's also way less expensive than what you're going to pay, continuing to pay for all these over-designed and overpriced blades that start looking like the Starship Enterprise for no apparent reason. And you're looking at what you're paying for, you're thinking, what the hell am I doing? Especially when Harry's is available. And for a limited time only, as a new customer, you can save big on a Harry's shave set. So find out what I'm talking about here. Go to Harry's.com. Use the code Chicago, and you're going to get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, a shave gel, and travel cover for just $3. And it ships for free. Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each. So it's less than half the price of some of these big brand, silly-looking things. You get two shaves out of them, and they're crap. So there's no upcharges, fast, free shipping, 100% quality guarantee, and this is key, no subscription required. And you may think, oh, it's one of these online things. I sign up and it's auto refills. No, if you want auto refills, they can do that. But there's no forced subscription. You can resupply however you want. One-off, a la carte, if that's better for you. And for a limited time only, Harry's has this special offer. You get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with the code Chicago at harrys.com. It's the starter set. 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover for $3. and it ships for free. Use the code Chicago at Harry's.com and join the millions of guys who've already switched. Go to Harry's.com today. At checkout, you claim your offer with the code.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back to school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items.